everybody. Welcome into episode number 403 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Allie.
Allie, we had so much fun with you. We decided to bring you back for this episode, but I think that you should just start us off, go right into your fact. Everybody at home, you know the drill. Guess along, laugh at how silly we are. The end.
All right, Lindsay, I'm happy to start us off. And last week, Michael started off with a great fact about California. So this week, I wanted to bring in another large state. So we're going to talk about Texas a little bit. And my fact and my question is, how many nations have held sovereignty over Texas?
Ooh.
Okay. By the way, I would first, before we get into any of it, I would like to compliment you. You went first in this episode, Allie. You did not have to do a throwback transition to the previous episode, but you chose to do so anyway, and it was solid. So good work. Secondarily, I know the answer to the question, so I'll go last.
A plus plus to Allie. Okay, Michael, so Nick knows the answer to the question, so he's going to go last. I can think of two, which would be Mexico and the United States. I don't know if the nation of Texas counts as having its sovereignty over itself because they were independent for a little while there.
I was thinking Spain.
Spain? I don't know if they've ever had over Texas. I don't know. Do you think that they messed with them at all?
I think...
That's really the question, right? How many people have messed with Texas? Or how many countries have messed with them is really the question for the Texans out there. Okay, I think that it's low. So I'm going to say three. I got to stick with my gut here. I don't want to overthink it. I'm saying three.
I'm going to say five.
What are those? What countries are those?
I don't have two more. This is what I do when I have to guess blindly, is I will come up with the ones I know and then add in, especially with range questions, and then I'll add in a what I don't know buffer.
Right. Mm-hmm. There's got to be one or two that I can't think of.
Exactly. So I'm at three countries in my head, consuming Spain's correct, and I'll build in two more that I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Now can I be pompous and arrogant at this point? Yay.
All right, go ahead, Nick.
Yes. Since when have you needed permission?
So I'm trying to grow as a person. It's not going well. So Lindsay and Michael, when I talk about can you name some really big amusement parks?
You could be pompous. That was to yourself and not too condescending to us. So I'm not even going to answer that question.
No. Name an amusement park or two that you can think of. Park. Yeah.
How about Six Flags?
Six Flags. Yeah. Where do the Six Flags fly, Michael? In the place where the amusement park was founded, Six Flags over Texas.
Oh.
Named after the six countries' flags that have flown over the Republic of Texas. Those countries being, I believe, in chronological order, France, Spain, Mexico. Then it was the Republic of Texas. Then it was the United States of America. Then for a little while around the 1840s, it was the Confederate States of America. Which is 1860s, six different flags.
But, Civil War was a couple of years later. But absolutely, yeah. Nick, you are right. And actually, it's so funny that you bring up Six Flags, because that was actually, when I looked up this fact, I started looking up the origins of names of amusement parks. And I found Six Flags, because I used to go all the time as a little kid. I love roller coasters. And so I looked this up. But it was Spain, and then it was France.
Oh, I flip-flop those.
Mexico,
okay.
The Republic of Texas, United States, Confederate States, and then United States again.
Sure.
No matter what Texans say these days, Six Flags.
Yeah.
I just don't consider the Confederate States to be a real country. So that's a whole other can of worms, right?
Well, so is the Republic of Texas, right? It's not its own country, but the idea is that at one point in time, it was actually
its own place,
like a sovereignty, its own place. Yeah. And so it does count because it was a different flag that they flew over there. So,
Allie, I'm pretty sure that the way you came to this tidbit of trivia information is the same way 100% of all people who learn this come to it. Nobody ever learns like the history of Texas. It's like, no, this is what the Six Flags amusement park means.
Well, Nick, I was actually going to ask that. Is this like a chicken and the egg situation where you find out about the countries of like flags over Texas, or you just know the Six Flag ones and you answered my question and that it's just via the amusement park?
It's only via the amusement park. That is the only entry point to this trivia fact. Yes.
That's awesome. Okay. Who's got a segue? Allie, thank you for that. I like it. That was a good one. That was a good kickoff and I appreciated it. But that sounds sarcastic, but it is actually genuine, which now that I'm saying it's genuine, sounds even more sarcastic, but just trust me that I am actually like very excited to tell my Texas friends and Texan friends about this because I'm sure they already know. Okay. Yeah. So who's got a segue?
Allow me to jump on with more congratulations. Great job, Allie. You did an amazing work there. It was super good.
I love when men are condescending to women.
I want to know. Wait, Allie, I want to make it very clear, though, that I was equally as condescending as Nick was. I want to be very, very clear in that. And that's really my brand of feminism, is that everybody can be condescending to each other equally. That's my goal.
All right,
I love
the
my brand of feminism joke there. All right. Who's got the next one?
So Allie had a question about Six Flags, and amusement parks have those games where you drop the quarter into the machine and you try to get like the wall of quarters to fall off.
Oh, I love those.
You know what I'm talking about? Like so much money just sitting like right there on the edge. And if you could just get the one quarter, just push it a quarter of an inch forward, it would fall. So my question is about quarters and about US money in general. And more so than just a question, it's more of a riddle. And I know we don't generally do riddle type questions, but I thought this was fun because there is absolutely a way to math your way into the answer. And those are the kind of questions that I like. Yeah.
The mom was the doctor.
So usually the question is, what weighs more, a pound of feathers or a pound of bricks, right? Ooh, they both weigh a pound. Yeah, pay attention. So this is my question. What is worth more, a pound of quarters or a pound of dimes?
Okay.
I like the 50-50 nature here. All right, so I think the answer is dimes.
Why?
Because a quarter would need to weigh 2.5 times what a dime would need to weigh, right? Mm-hmm. And dimes are super thin. So I feel like every time I'm walking around, if I have change in my pocket, so I'm going all the way back to when I used to walk around and change to like high school back in the early 2010s, right?
Used to carry change in the 2010s. Used to walk around about 9 or 10 months ago.
So I feel like I always knew when I had a quarter, but when I had a dime, it was always less. And dimes weigh less than pennies, right? And then I think it goes dime, then penny, then nickel, then quarter, I would assume, based on my change experience in my life. Completely subjective, but I would say it'd have to be 2.5, less than 2.5 times. And I just think that dimes do not weigh that much because they're so thin. And because, you know, George's head is protruding there on that quarter.
Sure.
And that weighs a lot.
So fun fact, when we did our first ever finals event where we gave away $1,000 at the district trivia finals, the finals event was on, I think it was the day before St. Patrick's Day or the day after St. Patrick's Day. So we decided we were going to give away the prize in gold coins. So I went to the bank and I got 1,000 Sacagawea golden dollars and we put it in a little cauldron that we had. We gave it away. And somebody was smart enough to point out to me, hey, what is $1,000 in golden dollars weigh? Because if it's like 500 pounds, that's going to be a huge pain in the ass. So good news is $1,000 in gold coins is only about 27 pounds. But yeah, that was one of the fun. So when I saw this fact, I'm like, ooh, more weighted coins math. I love this. I have experience with this.
Okay, I also agree that I think it is dimes. I think the, like you said, Allie, your logic, I feel like, is really where I'm thinking, where they're so much lighter than the quarter that you're going to get so many more of them into that pound weight. So the dollar amount is going to be higher. I keep it very simple, but I'm feeling I'm locking in the dime. So Michael, are you joining us, or are you going to go the other way?
I think I'm going the other way. So when Nick first asked this, my original thought was what materials comprise either a dime or a quarter? So for example, like copper, for example, if you're going to use copper in something, that's what my immediate thought. If he was going to ask pennies, I was going to say pennies just because of the copper content. But just kind of raw materials, like if you were to melt down everything and then separate the different metals and stuff, I would think quarter would have different stuff. So I'm going to say quarters.
Okay. So
I also lied. There's technically three answers here. They could weigh the same thing. They could
be worth the same thing.
They could be worth the same thing.
They could be.
I'm sticking to dimes, but I'd like to revise my percentage opportunity of correctness.
So you've gone from 50-50 to 33% chance of being right. All right. So Michael, to your point, both dimes and quarters are currently constituted of about 75% copper and 25% nickel.
Okay.
So they have the same difference, the same amalgamation of metals that create them. Okay. A dime weighs, an average dime weighs 2.268 grams. Your average quarter weighs 5.67 grams, which means that a dime is roughly 2.5 times smaller than a quarter. So Allie, already with a smile on her face, a pound of dimes and a pound of quarters, both are worth $20.
Oh, the false dilemma that you gave us. Such a logical fallacy you just slipped in there to make us believe we had to pick one. Oh, yep. Excellent job.
That was the, and that's why we don't ask riddles as part of trivia. Because there's always something you thought of.
When you said it was a riddle, I should have known that it was not going to be this binary answer that you'd presented to us.
Right. I was just waiting for Michael to go, well, knowing Nick, my answer is the dog Pluto. Because it's not whatever option you've given us. So I'm going with literally anything else.
Nick, I want to tell you that genuinely, sincerely, I enjoyed that. It was the most sincere that I could possibly be on this episode is how much I enjoyed it. But you actually, I'm not going to go last this week for my fact. So sorry, Michael, I'm cutting in front of you, unless you have the best segue ever.
I really don't.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to make a leap here. We're talking about things that are a riddle, right? And really difficult to navigate and hard to really understand and grasp. And I think collectively, the four of us can agree that that is adolescence. And that is your high school years. What an enigma and a riddle in who you are as a person. And when you think of high school, you're thinking super bad, right? That is like the quintessential to me high school movie. Yes, what do you think? Do you agree?
No.
Disagree?
No.
I've never seen it.
What?
That's, I mean, super.
It's a good movie.
Superbad was years after college. When that came out, conceptually,
this was like senior year, I think, rough about for me, like early freshman year. But this is, in my opinion, one of the best high school genre of comedies. Period.
I mean, I think you have to throw out Can't Hardly Wait. You have to add Clueless into the mix.
Never been kissed.
She's All That. Never Been Kissed.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
I think that's Superbad. 10 Things I Hate About You. Those. I think Superbad is, on a laugh per minute basis, funnier than all of those movies. And
Ten Things I Hate About You is essentially just Shakespeare. So
yeah.
You're saying,
well, the good part.
You're getting rid of Shakespeare.
School.
Right.
Yeah. Also, for the record, 10 Things I Hate About You, you know, we all know it's based on Taming of the Shrew. And the second act of that is really, I'm really glad they didn't include that.
Like, the things get act, dark there for a while.
Yeah, it really does. There's some bad things, and it would just not
go back and read Taming of the Shrew now.
Yeah, you really need to. I went and saw the play with a bunch of 8 girlfriends and I, and we like went, we had a great time, and then we got to the second act and we were like, this is not what we thought it was. Oh my well, anyway, okay, you guys and your disrespect for Superbad movie aside, because it is a classic American cinema experience.
Anybody denied that?
I mean, if we're talking about high school movies, aren't we talking about Mean Girls? Or are you saying that Superbad is way better than Mean Girls?
No. Mean Girls is my number one high school movie.
That's not what you said.
No, I'm saying Superbad is in the top conversation. All right,
so, Lindsay, do you have a question?
Great. Allie, I do. I mean, I was going to say, you know, where do you rank this in the top? But that's clearly not where I was going. But okay, so you guys know that, you know, Seth Rogen played the cop in the movie. Jonah Hill played one of the main characters. So my question to you, what was their age difference at the time of the film? Like, how far apart in years were Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill at the time that they filmed Superbad?
Aren't they always the same difference in age, though?
You beat me to the joke.
You're going with the third answer of going with the third option. All right. Go ahead. You go ahead and talk it out. Michael, what do you got?
I think it's closer than it would be in the movie. So I'd put, I mean, Jonah Hill at Superbad, what was it, 20 maybe? What do you think?
When was Superbad?
2007.
Okay. 2007. So if you're 20, you've got him at 1987. So is he sounds roughly right. The same age as you? Or is he older than you?
I'd put him probably a year or two older than me.
Okay, because I'd put Seth Rogen at roughly my age.
Right, and that's what I was about to say. So I'd say about 8 years.
Okay.
I'm going to just plug in and say 8 years before I talk my way into somebody else's guess.
Allie?
I could not know less about these two people, so I'm going to pick an arbitrary number 12.
Okay.
I think the blind shot at the dartboard approach.
Yeah. we call that the Michael of guesses.
Yes, we do.
I think Seth Rogen is just younger than I am. I think he's like Sarah's age. I think he's like 1981. You know what's funny? I'm going to go on the out of left field guess and say that Jonah Hill is older than Seth Rogen.
Okay.
I'm going to say 1 year is the difference and Jonah Hill is older.
Ooh. Okay. You guys all kind of danced around it in the sense that Nick was the closest. Nobody else is close. So I don't know why I led with that. That you guys
is Jonah Hill older?
No. Seth Rogen is older, but you were close in that they were only a year and a half different. So Seth Rogen, it took them 7 years to finalize the film and get it produced and get it made. And Seth Rogen felt that he outgrew the role. So Jonah Hill got the main one, but he was only 23 at the time, whereas Seth Rogen was a year and a half older than Jonah Hill. So Jonah Hill's 36-ish now. But yeah, only a year and a half separated them. And if you watch the movie, you would never guess a year and a half just picturing them. And so my bonus super bad question for you guys, how old was Seth Rogen when he actually wrote the film? So like, when did he write this screenplay for this?
Didn't 16 you just, and a half.
Didn't you just
based
say that?
Based on your math.
Yeah.
Do I say it?
You said he was 24 at the time. Jonah Hill was 23, and it took him 7 years to do it.
Oh, yeah, did I? Okay, well, you guys were paying attention to my riddle.
I'm going with Allie's guess.
No, it's actually a little bit before then, though. He started writing it when he was 14, so it took a couple years to, like, pitch it and like get it out there. 7 years was the process of like when he started pitching, but 14 years old, he started writing it. And you guys really need to go back and rewatch it, because I think it tells a lot about like bromances and a lot of lessons about consent and that it's okay for men to have emotions. So I think Superbad is a very, very good film. And I would recommend everybody go watch it.
And if you don't want to watch every single high school movie out there, I would recommend Not Another Teen Movie, starring a very young Chris Pine.
That's just one movie then, yeah.
It's just one movie, but it covers all of them. Molly Ringwald ones.
Right, from everything. The 80s and the Brat Pack all the way through to the She's All That and the... Exactly. Yeah.
even does touch on 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah.
I wasn't allowed to watch most of these movies growing up, I hope you know. This is like way before my time.
Not Another Teen Movie. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's a Wayne's Brothers movie, isn't it?
I was born in 95, so. And it has some adult content to it, if I remember correctly.
I'm sorry, what year was that? what year was that?
95.
Yeah, good times. Good times, 1995.
I'm sure some of you remember it.
Dude,
Michael, you have only 2 minutes to do your facts, so we got to get right into it. So make all your right. segue and let's get into it. Perfect. 2 minutes, you're on the clock.
All right, here we go. Well, my fact has to do with how I feel when Nick gets correct answer on the podcast.
Super bad.
No. Not happy. So my question is this. Banging your head against a wall burns how many calories per hour?
Hey, I got to call Sia.
You go ahead. I've seen this. I've seen this because I was looking at a list of like chewing gum or eating ice cubes and like all of these stupid things on a list of how many calories it burns. You talk, I'll think.
Okay, Allie, so what do you know about calories burned? You know, well, I have my fitness pal a little bit, but.
If you run, Michael, you said in what? Amount
per
of time?
Hour.
What was per hour? Okay, so per hour. So I'm a
runner.
We will
assume this is at a medium pace.
And I know that I burn approximately 800 calories running per hour. So I think banging your head against a wall burns a little bit less than that because your cardio isn't moving, but your body is still trying to make up for the fact that you're just like destroying it. Somehow. So I'm actually going to go with about 500.
500. Okay.
That's a lot. That's more calories than I burn when I'm running.
Have you seen the movie, like The Longest Yard, where the guy walks into the prison and he's just banging his head against the wall?
Burt Reynolds. Amazing. Oh, you're talking about the Adam Sandler version, aren't you?
The Adam Sandler
Reynolds was version. In that one too, though.
I know he was.
Guys, just burning sweat. But if you're really pounding your head, you're really into it, you're trying to like get your heart rate up, I think that it's going to get you about 500 calories per hour.
That's a really good guess. I'm trying to think of like what other activities I know to put like a reference point, right? And I remember ball hockey was always like, I don't know, 300 calories, but I think that was for 30 minutes. And I don't know if how much banging my head against the wall and ball hockey were related in terms of caloric output and burning. Oh man, I like that 500 guess. But I'll go a little bit less than that. And I'm going to say 400. I'm going to say 400.
Okay.
Hey, Nick?
I'm going to find the website that I was looking at and we'll add it in the link dump of this episode because it was a bunch of stuff. It was like how much you burned like 50 calories watching TV. Like if you're just sitting on your couch watching TV, you burn 50 calories.
So we know it's higher than 50.
Yeah. And it was like, and what made no sense to me was it was like singing in the shower burns 20 calories. And I'm like, okay, singing versus watching TV, 20 versus 50, it's not that big of a deal. But at least you're theoretically standing in the shower. Wouldn't standing burn more calories than sitting on the couch? Anyway, it was a bunch of random stuff. So I'm going to go with, if Michael says 500 and Lindsay says 400, I'll go with 300 and call it good.
Okay. According to this article,
everybody just like made up their answer based on a ballpark estimate I tossed out there. Yeah. So watch, we're all going to be really wrong.
Well, Allie, you called it. according to the article that I pulled up, 150 calories an hour.
That's it?
Like I said, it was at a medium pace. I don't think it's you're woodpeckering it, but
you do medium end pace. Up losing about 8 or 9 pounds of blood, though.
Right.
So
so convert that to calories.
Right.
Yeah.
Wait, man.
Michael, what's the if you bang your head against the wall, what's the expression that you say?
Ow.
Okay. Ow. That's your secret phrase. Ow. That's your secret phrase. Lock it in.
Done and done.
I was expecting you to say a little something a little bit different than ow, but thank you for not swearing. So ow, your secret phrase. Allie, we will have you on again. Thank you so much for coming on the last two episodes. We appreciate it. Everybody else, we hope you're having a wonderful and fabulous December. This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
Michael.
We don't I'm know Allie.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Allie. Didn't mean to cut you off there. Wow, what a flub of an ending. Super bad ending indeed. Just like you said, Nick and Michael. Oy, oy, oy. Okay, we don't know either. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.